is TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. A lot of things to get to. And, you know, I typically do things for a reason.
Okay.
I never know what that reason is.
Okay.
But I have reasons for what I do. And I just realized why, and this show is going to be totally screwed up because of what we're about to do.
Okay.
Okay. I got a vent about Henry Cejudo.
Okay.
I just saw our Mick Ferrari, our Queer Eye for the Sports guy, posted this on his Facebook. Hey, the principal calls. Hey, your child has been causing problems in school. Me, the person this is to. My child causes problems at home, too. Do I ever call you? That's hilarious. But why this show is going to not be as good as always, I always have Dave Manley on at the end of the show.
Okay.
Not at the beginning.
Right.
And I never knew why until just now.
Why is that?
Let's invite Dave Manley on,
okay.
And I'll tell him.
We're going to start off the show with Dave Manley?
Exactly.
How can you say it's not going to be a great show? It's going to be an epic show.
Well, the show, I'll explain why. Dave Manley, MMA bobblehead, how are you?
We are five! Naked pizza!
Okay, that's part of the reason that this show is going
to
stink.
Perfect way to start
but,
the show.
Dave, I've always had you towards the end of the show, and I've never really known why I've done it and did it until right now.
Why is that, Randy?
Because I always start the show in a downer, you know, my bitches, my complaints, things that are pissing me off. And so when I end the show with you, I leave here happy. I leave here because the last thing we do is talk to you. Now we're going to start the show with you. That means when I leave, I'm going to be bummed out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hopefully we can change things around. There's a lot to be pissed off about. There's a lot of gripes I'm sure you have with the UFC and, you know, all the things going on in the MMA world. But let's start off on a positive note.
We will. You just released your 439th figurine. the second in the line of Mr. Bruce Buffer. This one a little bit different. And we just heard one of his lines. Tell us about the new Bruce Buffer.
Oh, my gosh. So there's so much to tell about this. I'll try to keep it short. It's my 18th bobblehead, Randy. I started 5 years ago. I'm on my five-year anniversary. Bruce Buffer has been a mentor, a guidance counselor, a father figure, a friend throughout this whole thing. But more than that, his bobblehead that I made, he was number three, sold out the quickest. I couldn't believe it. Quick story about that. Bruce wanted a bobblehead. I wanted a bobblehead of Bruce. I had a business partner at the time, and I told my business partner, who's not a huge MMA fan, dabbles in the sport, but I said, hey, Bruce wants a bobblehead. Can you believe it? We're going to make a Bruce Buffer bobblehead. And he's like, my business partner was like, you care about that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? So we ended up making it. Was like the best bobblehead for a long time. Sold out the quickest. You can't even get it on the aftermarket. Like to this day, fast forward to this day. So I decided that after I made the John McCarthy audio bobblehead, I felt like I got all the kinks out, made all the mistakes that I was going to make, you know, with the audio chip, the housing, the design. And I said, you know what? I'm going to hit Bruce up and see if he wants to make another one with his voice.
And he jumped all over it, obviously.
It's time! So clean, Randy.
No, for sure. And to the added, and, you know, we always talk about it, and, you know, I don't say things that I don't believe. I'm not trying to blow smoke. I've always told you, to me, these are figurines, not bobbleheads. I know they're bobbleheads, but they're made like figurines. They're phenomenal. But as much as I like the bobblehead, and I've always said this to you, I like the box as well. What you've done and how you do that whole process. This one is almost on steroids, crack, all that stuff, because it's my guy Ross Baines' art that's on the box.
I am so glad that you brought that up. And for anybody listening who's saying, who the heck is Ross Baines right now? If you have social media or you just, you know, go on Google and Google Ross Baines, he is an up-and-coming, amazing sports artist, and he kind of specializes in MMA art. I hit Ross up, and you know what? He agreed, and we worked things out, and I got to use his art, box art, for this Bruce Buffer. I couldn't be more happy with this box art. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the commercial that we run for Ross on the national network, it I don't remember the exact words, and I wrote it and voiced it, but it says something like, be like Jorge Masvidal, Joe Rogan, and I list a couple of the MMA fighters that have a Ross Bane original, but it ends with, and me, because I also own an original, the original Rocky Balboa hangs in my house.
No way. I did not know that. That's awesome. When did you get that? Yeah.
A couple years ago. I have one as a print, and then I have the original of another version.
Yeah, Ross is an amazing artist. I went and did the signing with Bruce last week, and I walked into his house. I didn't take more than two steps, and I saw the original box artwork hanging in his hallway. It's gorgeous. So for anyone, you know, wanting to check it out, just go to MMA Bobblehead and check it out. I have the box art up there. And then on my IG, I don't know if you knew this, Randy, but Ross sent me a time lapse of him doing the artwork for the, you know, for this. So it's incredible.
There you go. Now, I'm taking it by the way you said that did you pick Ross and his painting not knowing that the original hung or hangs in Bruce's house?
I had no idea that I was going to walk in and see the original in Bruce's house. And I mean, it stopped me in my tracks. First of all, everything stops me. You can't walk 5 feet in Bruce's house without stopping in your tracks and saying, what the heck is this? Bruce, like, wow, what's the story here? I mean, he's, you know, been a collector his entire life. He's got a rich history with collecting. I mean, from when I say his entire life, from like a child, his parents were collectors, and they bought and sold at trade shows. And so throughout Bruce's life, and especially through the MMA life, he has collected all the cool stuff, and he has them on display in his home. So it's like walking through a World War II museum, an MMA museum, a Bruce Buffer movie collection museum. It's awesome.
Very cool. How many different sayings is in this bobblehead of Bruce Buffer?
He says about 8 different things, and I mean, it's clear as day. When Bruce and I decided to do this, he went into the studio and he made it as clear as possible. Here's another one.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
So that is very clear, and when you press the button, he'll say the different stuff. Bruce is jumping in the air like an iconic pose that, you know, you see Bruce do sometimes. And I'm just really happy with this one. The amount of details is just over the top.
So when I got mine, and again, thank you very much, I'm opening it up and I'm getting ready to display it. My wife is watching me, and, you know, I'm acting like a 6-year-old child. You know, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I take this thing out that's also in the upper right-hand side. And I'm thinking that it's like the SIM card, you know, for the voice. And I kind of pull it out, and I'm like, I don't know where this goes. And from across the room, my wife goes, well, I'm assuming that that's the fight card of the announcement of him making of the fight, which it was.
Yes, Randy, yes. I decided to make an accessory. An accessory of Bruce Buffer's fight card. I chose the most exciting fight that I've ever been to live, which is the Jorge Masvidal-Ben Askren fight. Never felt so much energy in my entire life in one moment. And we redid the card, and with all the symbols, he has the 5 seconds on the card. It comes separately inside the box, and you stick it right in little Bruce's hand right there.
A, that's very cool, and B, I would have much rather you use the card of Matt Hughes versus BJ Penn, only because
I
own the original.
Oh, is that? Look at you! Wow,
what else is a collector, Dave?
It was before Bruce did things with the cards, and I remember I was in the front row, and Bruce does his thing, and he walks by, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Here, you want this?" And I'm like, "I'll take anything." And I took it, I put it on the table, and then I realized what it was, and it was the card from that fight.
Yeah, that's incredible. That will never happen again.
But what's the difference between a hoarder and a collector, Dave? Is it like the way it's displayed?
I'm a hoarder. All this stuff is in Randy's junk drawer in the kitchen.
Well, that particular item is in my safe deposit box at the bank. I just have it there because I didn't want to, ruin it, misplace it. I literally just found something, and I'm saying this on the air for the first time. I literally just found something that I have been looking for probably 8-9 years. That I just found, and it was from when Matt Serra beat GSP. So how long ago was that fight?
Yeah, 15 years ago.
Yeah, so I just found it like 2 weeks ago.
Oh wow! Well, what is it?
It's the program that George and Matt both signed, and it's signed by Koscheck, and I think it was Diego Sanchez as well. It's really an awesome piece. I just purposely put it somewhere so it wouldn't get ruined, and it got lost instead. So I'm the hoarder. Bruce is the collector.
That's so funny, Randy, that you say that, because before I got into the bobblehead stuff, I never really thought about collecting MMA memorabilia because it's not on the forefront of our minds like it is with baseball or football, hockey, basketball, whatever. A lot of MMA memorabilia just kind of got tossed to the side in the early days. So I hear you when you say that you've been looking for something for 7-8 years because people just threw that stuff away.
Well, what's interesting, Dave, at the beginning, you're right. Nobody kept it. Nobody collected it. The fighters never thought about it. The UFC didn't think about it. And then that tragic moment in UFC and MMA history when Ryan Bennett passed away in the tragic car accident, and I started to go with the help of Lorenzo and Dana, and I had the full access, and we were auctioning off so many things on eBay and through other avenues that's when people really jumped on it. They're like, wait a second, this is early, but this could be valuable. This could be very worthwhile. And that's when the UFC started to do the thing with Fanatics, and when they started to do it in-house. And that basically all started due to the tragedy with Ryan Bennett.
Yeah, that makes sense. It takes something like that for people to realize, hey, we should maybe hold on to this kind of stuff.
So now that Bruce has been released, are there any even still available?
Bruce signed 300 bobbleheads, and I'm more than halfway sold out of those already. They're going fast. People love Bruce Buffer. I'm not saying that like I'm surprised. I'm just kind of saying that like as a matter of fact. I mean, I've released Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Chuck Liddell, all the names, right? I never have received a reaction like I'm receiving with Bruce. It's unbelievable. People from all over the world just love that guy, and I totally understand. I love that guy. I mean, he's just such a great person. But, yeah, these are definitely going to sell out and become collector's items, Randy.
I'll throw this one thing out, and your boy's waiting to, I'm sure, say something that's going to make him feel good or look good or be better or whatever. But I'll give you my reason for that. Bruce Buffer's never lost a fight in the octagon.
He's always there every single Saturday, and he's always giving it 100%, and he's always making the fight exciting.
Yep.
Yeah, so Dave, since you're talking about adding accessories, I have a suggestion. I was at BKFC 41 in Denver. Donald Cerrone was there without his beard. People didn't recognize him without his beard. So could we get a removable beard for the cowboy on a bobblehead?
But the problem with that, Matthew, and I didn't even know that that was going to be the stupid question of the day, is if you take the beard off and then you don't know it's Donald Cerrone, why would you buy the Donald Cerrone figurine / bobblehead?
Well, guys, it's not a horrible idea, but I'll tell you what, that might come behind what I'm working on now, which is a Naked Pizza Man accessory full pizza. I'm working on a pepperoni and a Hawaiian.
I love it. I love it. It's controversial because people think that pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
I think this interview or this chat is now.
I love the start of the show, Dave. This is the way we should start every week at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
All right, so I just lied. The start of the show will not be very good. It is not going to make me very happy.
But Dave, on the serious note, though, I know you started with the UFC and you've been loyal to the UFC, but BKFC is a rising star. Have you thought about doing any kind of bare knuckle figurines?
I haven't, to be honest with you. I mean, my plate is full with these fighters. As you guys know, these take about 9-10 months or up to a year and a half to make. So I kind of have a backlog, so to speak. And it's only like maybe 2 or 3 fighters, but it's hard. They're hard to make, but the BKFC is an up and coming rising sport. And I would definitely look into it.
All right. Before we run out of time and, we could do a whole 2-hour show, just, talking, with you about everything. I'm curious. And I was arguing with Chuckles across the table from me, who never stops long enough to A, think or B, listen. I'm not going to necessarily ask you first who you thought won in the Sterling Cejudo fight. What I do want to know from you, if you remember, who did you think won round 5?
That's the easiest round to judge by far. How could Cleary get that wrong? I mean, that it was like everyone in the world saw that Sterling took the round off, which I couldn't believe. I had a wager on Sterling. I was pulling out the rest of the hair that I have on my head left. Even with him losing the 5th round, I had Sterling winning 3-2.
Okay, but And like I've said before, I've said it on Facebook, I've said it on Twitter, I said it to Chuckles. I'm not going to argue or disagree with Sterling winning the fight. I had Henry Cejudo winning. That's immaterial. What I find important is Helen Keller could have scored round 5 correctly.
Yes.
And
that's
Cleary,
the problem we have right now, Randy, is like these outlier judges who make these outlier decisions that affect lives and millions of dollars. It's crazy to me how Cleary gave that round to Sterling. What was he thinking? These judges should be held a little bit more accountable. I'm not saying, hold their feet to the fire, but maybe, come out with a statement or something on the reasoning, because we're going to ride off into the sunset as at UFC MMA fans, never knowing what the heck was going on in between his ears.
Right, and I don't want to mention which judges, but I reached out to a couple judges in the past, and they were told not to respond. Let it go. And that's fine. I'm a judge as well. I don't know that I've ever made a mistake, but if I did, I wouldn't have a problem, giving why I did whatever. And it's funny, and I've said this before as well. When I've judged, the first thing that I don't want to hear is by split decision. And then I'm thinking, I hope I'm on the 2 and not the 1, because, I want to be right. But if I am wrong, or if they are wrong, they should be able to at least answer a question. Why did? You obviously have a reason why you did or didn't. And what I told Matt earlier, I didn't care who won. I've talked to both. Henry did the Super Bowl show. But when it comes down to it, I want the right person to win and the right person to lose. And if Cleary gave Henry Cejudo round 5 that everyone on planet Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and every other country gave to Henry Cejudo, he wins that fight. His legacy continues on and on and on and on and on. And that's why I hate when there's blatant mistakes in my eyes.
Yeah, because that one round, one score changes kind of, MMA lore and destiny forever. Because you're exactly right. Now Henry is the champion, maybe goes up to featherweight, and who knows, if the first time ever of a 4C
comes about. But yeah, I can't stand that, Randy. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm still mad over the Jared Gordon Patty Pimlet decision. That was ridiculous too.
Yeah, it was. There's been a lot of blatantly bad ones, but that's the problem. There is no, set criteria.
But couldn't we do it like horse racing or like NASCAR, where it's not an official decision until like everybody has a chance to review the scorecards and like actually maybe make the judges watch like a close round again to rescore it, like after the fact, before you make it an official verdict?
Yeah, I'm against that.
But if you get backlash of so much from the fans and from the people that know, like,
then you replace these judges.
So they do instant replay for baseball and other sports to get it right. Like
naked pizza. That sounds like a recipe for an absolute riot in the arena. Yeah. If they announce one winner and then they say, "Oh, you know what? Wait a minute, we had a little change of mind here. The other guy wins."
And again, as a judge, and I keep throwing it out, not that I'm better than anybody else, but as a judge, we're looking at different things. We're not looking as a fan, we're looking as a judge. You literally would have to rewatch the entire round or the entire fight again.
Yeah,
because one thing could be the difference in winning that round. So you'd have to watch the whole thing again.
Randy, what do you think about this? And I know you have to go. What do you think about this? An experimental open scoring. Maybe not for the main card, maybe not even for the prelim, maybe for the early prelims. A couple fights of the card, open scoring, just to see how it works.
I'm for it. I would like it. I know that when people have been against it, it's because, what we all think Sterling did in round five is if you know you're up, then you are going to do that. But at least if you're not up and you think you are, Sterling wouldn't have coasted in that round five. He might have gone on to dominate round five, and then all this controversy would be gone. But I'm okay with open scoring. I absolutely am.
Yeah, and another caveat to that is maybe give the fighters an option to have open scoring. If both fighters would like it, then do it. If one says no, then it's a no.
Yeah, see, and the problem with that is one says no, one says yes. Then you're going to have a fight before the fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So you can't. It's kind of like when I went to dinner last night with my 3-year-old. I'm sorry, in case Disney's listening, my 2-year-old granddaughter, and we ordered her food, and then I said, "Is that what you wanted?" When she said no, what could I do? Instead of just doing it, you either just go and do it, or you don't go and do it. And she will be 3 shortly. So, in case they're listening, I'm not trying to pull anything.
Randy, I'm excited to see you during International Fight Week. It's my favorite week of the year, and I can't wait. Count down the day.
And Dana just announced that this will be Robbie Lawler's last fight. I have problems with that as well. I only have another couple minutes, but I'll voice it to you as I'll voice it later. I never like when a fighter has already announced his retirement before the fight.
Yeah, that's a very rare situation, though.
Well, it's rare in that it's been announced, but how many times have fighters, Teixeira, whoever just retired recently, they know beforehand.
Masvidal.
They know they're retiring, so did they 100% train? Did they 100% mind, body, and soul? When you've already thought about retirement, when you've already made the announcement or made the announcement in your own head, you're already out of it. You've already retired. And that's the problem with making those decisions before the fight, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I didn't know that. You just broke some news for me. So, it breaks my heart a little bit. Robbie Lawler is one of my favorite fighters. I can't wait to watch him one last time. That's for sure.
But on the flip side of that, Glover Teixeira got to lay his gloves down for the final time in his home country, in Brazil. So knowing that that's their final hurrah, they may have extra motivation to put on a show for the fans in their hometown, in their home country, for a pride, and respect thing.
Yeah, can I argue with Matt, or do you want to move on, or do you want to listen to this?
No, Masvidal did the same thing. He was very prideful that his last fight was in Miami. His career started in Miami, and I thought that it was a special moment to see him lay his gloves down in Miami as well.
Absolutely.
But
I'm not disagreeing with that. What I'm saying is, what if Teixeira would have won that fight? What if Masvidal would have won that fight? Would he have still retired? Or would he have fought one more time? And then that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
When you make that decision already, it's like you're already checking out, and you're more worried's not the right word, concerned, thinking about laying the gloves down in the octagon in your hometown or whatever, than you are about winning the fight, because what happens if you win? And if you're going to say, well, he still would have retired, then Glover Teixeira would have retired as the champion and thrown the whole division in flux.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Dave, tell people how they can, A, follow you, and B, purchase either this figurine or any of the back orders that may be available.
To put a quick button on Robbie Lawler, Robbie Lawler was probably the second or third bobblehead that I ever made that never got released. I hope one day I can release it and get the ball over the finish line. It's a beautiful piece that I posted it for the first time on my IG. It's the famous pose against him, against Rory McDonald. You can follow me at MMABobblehead.com. All my social media is MMA Bobblehead. Go check out my Instagram. That's where I'm most active, and you can see some of the behind-the-scenes artwork. You won't be disappointed.
One more thing for me, and I know one for Matt. I happen to know someone who will be at International Fight Week, who will be at the Media Day, who will ask Robbie Lawler, what's the status of the bobblehead?
That would be wonderful, and you know, maybe if that person happens to be you, I can hand it off to you so he could see it in person for the first time.
That person will definitely be me.
And with the new Bruce Buffer Audible bobblehead, my only suggestion is when you make the Naked Pizza Man, that is the first scratch and sniff. Smells like pizza aroma, and that would be my suggestion.
A, you're an idiot, and B, Dave, thank you very much. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, guys. Naked pizza. Love you.
Love you, buddy.
Dave Manley continues to stick a knife in my back.
The best way to start any show.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad we didn't end with that.
This should be weekly.
If I had to leave with those thoughts, no.
Look how much happier you are.
Yeah, I'm not. Let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to head to Charlotte, not only this weekend, but we're going to head to it right now. And welcome Alex Morono when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub.
Here come the jesters. 1, 2, 3. It's all part of my fantasy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jenna Jameson, and you're on Knockout Radio with Randy Harris and Benjamin Glossop.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're the Coors Light Twins, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Knockout Radio brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone. A lot of things to get to still. The NFL schedule gets released supposedly tomorrow. Some things are going to be leaking out today, I'm sure. But right now, let's head up via the phone lines to Charlotte, North Carolina, as we get ready for UFC on ABC. And welcoming back to the program, Alex Morono. Alex, how are you?
Hey, man, doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
We appreciate your time. Another fight week preparation. How do you treat this fight week compared to others? Are they always the same? Do you try to mix it up? What?
No, they're pretty similar. I was actually just telling one of the employees earlier, fight week's actually kind of nice. You know, not that I dislike my normal work schedule at home because I operate a gym that I love being at. But, you know, on fight week, I have very few, you know, scheduled activities. So we get like a lot of time off, watch some movies with the coach, do a lot of working out. And it's actually kind of a serene week. I always look forward to it as it's a bit less stressful, oddly enough.
I'm trying to think of the word I want to use, and I don't want to be disrespectful or offensive, and I was going to be like a comedian. Are you one of those guys that likes to watch, like, the Food Network and all these food shows the week of a weight cut?
Man, so I have my Roku hooked up in my room, and on YouTube right now, I have a food show pause. So, I mean, yeah, I'm. It's funny. Right now, I'm eating just, like, a few little slabs of steak for lunch, and then I got a small slab of salmon for dinner. Just to kind of facilitate the weight cut. But no, I definitely watch a lot of food programs.
So during the real question is, have you had a chance to go into RC's Pizza and Pasta in the Woodlands? Like our last conversation, did you meet RC? Have you been in to...
You set him up for some pizza, right?
Yeah, I told him that you were going to stop by. Did you ever make it in?
Yeah, I have been in. We've gotten some pizza there to go. What's funny is, you know, my boy Ricky Tercios, he's also in the UFC. He won the Ultimate Fighter. We were getting together for some Contender Series fights, which is like an offshoot of UFC, after Tuesday night training. And like we went in RC's ready to get some pizza and watch some fights, but sure enough, Tuesday was the only day they were closed. So we've not been there in the past, but I've been there more than a couple.
I'll set it up after the fights. I'll set it up for both of you guys to go back in, make sure RC's there, because he's one of the top five pizza guys in the entire country.
Yeah. I actually prefer getting their pizza over anyone else near my house. It's like a mile from my house.
Oh, wow. Since you brought up that place, I have since been, and I don't remember if I asked you this last time, but I think it's called the Turkey Leg Hut.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar.
I remember I went, the UFC was there, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it's like an hour-long line.
Oh, wow, and that's here in North Carolina?
No, back home in Houston.
Oh, man, you know, it's funny, I've actually not heard of it. So you know, I'm on like the north side of Houston in a really nice little town called the Woodlands. Right. And in north of us, there's the Renaissance Festival, and they're known for their turkey legs. But I'm unfamiliar with a spot dedicated just to it. I'll go check it out.
When is the Renaissance in Houston?
It usually comes in quarter four, like right before winter. So like October, November is usually when it's at.
I normally don't stop in the middle of a conversation. Steve, write down that I need to take care of Renaissance tickets for Alex in Houston, and then we'll take care of it. However many tickets you need for the gym, the Renaissance Festival sponsors this program, basically the one here in Tampa, but I can get tickets to any Renaissance, so I'll hook you guys up.
Oh, no way. Cool. I go every year, so that we'll take you up on that. That's awesome, man. Thank you.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned about your gym in the Woodlands. I spent some time in the Woodlands with my brother, Eve Edwards. Talk about the gym. Talk about the Woodlands.
Yeah, my man, I actually know Eve very, very well. When I was 17 years old, and I'm 32 now, so this goes to show how long ago this was, I had done a kickboxing match, and after the fight, and it was like a dog fight, went all three rounds. I beat my guy up pretty bad, which was awesome, but I mean, I was as tired as I'd ever been, but I was walking around the crowd, and sure enough, I run into Eve Edwards, and he had told me good work on the fight, and like getting that compliment at that time had meant the world to me. And I've actually trained quite a bit with Eve since. I see him around town all the time. Eve's is a man. But yeah, my gym is Gracie Baja, the Woodlands MMA. I've been there since I was 16 years old. I own and operate it now. Man, it's awesome. We're like 400 plus members strong. I've been going out for a while. I got a lot of up and coming, good seasoned amateur MMA fighters and a couple of good pros. And man, I couldn't be any more grateful or any happier with how the team's been doing.
I'm sure the word isn't how difficult, but how do you direct, you know, your training? I know you have other, you know, coaches and such at the gym. You know, you're training for a fight, or you're not training for a fight, but to stay in shape, do what you need to do at your gym as your profession, but also devote the time to the gym and to your students.
Yeah, man, it's funny. People compliment me on that regularly, but to me, it's easy. You know, like one, first and foremost, if I didn't thoroughly enjoy doing it, I would not do it. Like, I go to bed every night looking forward to the next day, looking forward to teaching class and training. And just, you know, we always have guys who are getting ready for fights, so I'm always training. And even if we don't, I'm just training because I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy the exercise. So it's funny, man, I had a full fight camp for this fight, which was great. But I almost prefer the short notice fights because I don't get you know, as taxed in the training. And I'm usually in, like, fight-ready shape. So, I mean, to me, it's really easy to do. And if anything, it's easier to stay in shape having the gym to run than not.
What are your emotions, you know, as a trainer, as a coach, when your student is fighting? Obviously different than when you're in the octagon fighting. How do you handle that as a coach? And that's also your profession.
Yeah, oddly enough, I'm almost more nervous when my fighters fight, just because, you know, we have, like, the coaching advice guys, but we ultimately have no control over what happens. Whereas when I fight, I feel as if I do have control, so it's a little more nerve-wracking watching my guys, just because I want to see my guys succeed. And we have a very good high win rate, especially in the amateur ranks. But to me, it's a little less fun, you know, sitting cage side opposed to being in the cage.
Absolutely, I remember telling, whether it was when Matt Hughes fought Matt Serra, every time Eve would fight, you know, it's like, I can't enjoy this as a fan. Even when I'm there as media, you're still kind of a fan. I can't enjoy it when a guy that I'm so close with is in there fighting. It's nerve-wracking for sure.
You know, that's one of the aspects that I think makes mixed martial arts so much fun to be a fan of. Because if you personally know a fighter, like, the amount of investment and emotion is just so much greater when you're watching. And, like, I don't know how that could be replicated in any other sport. Even if, like, you're good friends with an NFL player, you know, they have a big team, they have a big moment, but in MMA, it's just so independently isolated to the individual fighting that, like, you really feel connected to them in the fight. So that's an aspect I actually absolutely love in the fight game.
I will say that the one sporting event, and I've been in sports radio for almost 40 years, if you were to ask me, the first one that comes to mind of everything I've ever covered is when Matt Hughes fought Frank Trigg, and the emotions of, holy crap, Matt, holy crap, Frank, you know, just how it changed so much in that fight. It definitely sticks out.
Yeah. I remember actually just watching a video recently on that fight, on, like, how quick a tide can turn. But yeah, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't there, like, an accidental low blow that kind of, like, changed it, but the ref didn't call it and they jumped in? But no, I know exactly what you mean.
All right, depending on whether Matt or Frank is listening on how I want to answer that, yes, there was a questionable, you couldn't tell from the angle, but yeah, it was a knee. Matt went down. Matt looked up. I don't remember who the ref was. Frank did what he's supposed to do and not stop. And then out of nowhere, like Hercules strength, Matt just flips him over, as you just saw, carried him to the other side, slammed him, and choked him out. It's one of my favorite fights to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing like old school UFC.
I'm curious, how do you prepare? Is there any different for what time your fight will be on Saturday? And I'm the type of person, my wife is always like, why do you? Because I don't care. I'll always say the truth and what's on my mind. I had no clue this event started at noon until 2 days ago.
You know what? I actually did not know it was an early event until about 2 weeks ago. And honestly, I've actually fought at all times of the day. I fought in Japan at 10 a.m. I fought in Vegas at like 2 p.m. I have fought late at like 11 p.m. I've never noticed a difference. I even like flew to China with not a lot of prep time and like was jet lagged, but come fight night was very prepared. So I actually kind of prefer these, like, you know, earlier afternoon fights, because it gives us a lot of time to kind of have fun on Saturday and it lets us get home early on Sunday.
Very, very true. I guess I need to ask you, the main reason that you came on is to talk about your fight. Give me your thoughts on your upcoming fight versus Tim Means.
Yeah, I was really excited to hear when Tim Means was my opponent. I've been expecting this matchup for about 2 years. We had just both fought so many similar opponents. I knew we would get matched up sooner than later. And so I've always been kind of like excited for the offer. And yeah, he's a veteran. you know, a win over him would be like a true feather in the cap. And, you know, especially coming up on my 20th UFC fight, I much prefer fighting guys who are a bit more recognized and have more experience, as just as a martial artist, getting a win over somebody like that is more valuable personally.
When you get a name, you get a phone call, or your manager gets the phone call, you agree to the fight. What do you do next? Do you go and watch a lot of the opponent's previous fights? Do you try not to look at a lot of what he's done in the past? Which?
No, I give my guys a 1% speech. Like, if you can, you know, do anything that increases your percent chance to win by 1%, why would you not do it? And like, studying tape is a big part of my game. Just being aware, you know, of what to look out for, you know, more so understanding how to implement your strengths and not let them implement theirs. But oddly enough, I actually didn't really need to watch tape. Now, granted, I did, but I had seen every one of Tim's, you know, the last 10 UFC fights, so I was very familiar with what to expect. He had also just fought Max Griffin, who I had fought a couple of years back, so we have a common opponent there. And yeah, so, I mean, anything I can do to increase my win percentage chance, I will do.
So with that being said, Alex, this is your 20th fight coming up. We know that evolution changes the game and the sport. What kind of things are you doing to prepare that maybe not be inside the mat? Like, is there any kind of therapy, like, you know, vertical conditioning or red light therapy or cold plunging? Like, what are you incorporating in this fight camp?
It's funny you mentioned that. I actually did my first cold plunge right before I left. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was just really cold. No, if anything, I think I've just gotten smarter over the years, and I've just like simplified and intensified my style. Beyond that, recovery is always very important. And I've been working with a strength coach for about a year straight now. And turns out my nutrition wasn't particularly like scientifically accurate from a recovery standpoint. I would always eat really clean, but I never ate enough. And I always had a hunch. And so my strength coach had given me some macros to follow. And this has been the best fight camp food-wise ever. I've been able to eat like these gluten-free protein pancakes 2 times a day, every day for the entire fight camp. I upped my calories by about 1,000 a day, and I've like lost weight, and I could hit like back-to-back sessions way easier than before. So I'm still learning, you know, as I do this, but I feel like I've really kind of honed in on like the best nutrition, recovery, and training method.
So you just made Matt's day week. I said no.
You did.
He always brings up all this stuff, and every once in a while, like you just did, you're like, oh yeah, that's all the stuff I do.
So Alex, so I own one of 4 vertical gyms in the country. It trains you in the sympathetic nervous system, which is fear mechanism, which is what you go into when the bell rings. So because RC is my homeboy,
you're going to drive to Houston.
I will drive my mobile gym to your gym. I'll train all your fighters. We'll do a workshop. We'll educate everyone how to train in the sympathetic, help them with their fight game. Then we'll go to the pizza shop. I'll show them how the pizza diet works and how I became a professional bodybuilder eating nothing but pizza, tracking macros, and using science.
And you know what? I'll come along. I'll ride with
you.
Yeah! All right. We'll set that up after the fight, Alex.
Hey, man. I'll take you up on that. I'm in.
We will definitely do it. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the next couple days, and then enjoy what is the whole purpose of this when you get back in the octagon. Have a good time on Saturday.
My man, thank you so much.
Awesome.
Take care. Alex, back on the show. What a good guy.
Ooh,
and Houston, we'll go to the turkey leg.
Yeah, we'll go to the Renaissance. We'll time it in the fall.
Well, if you want
to
do that, we can do that.
We'll drive over. We'll do the fall thing.
Well, then I'll get the vouchers where we can get the turkey legs for free at the Renaissance.
But the
hut is unbelievable.
And I've never been to Houston. So I've always gone to the airport. For some reason, my layovers are always in the Ronald Reagan airport. But I've never had a reason to get outside. My layover is never long enough.
If I can get the passes for Renaissance, I'll take care of your turkey leg at the Renaissance.
Okay.
And you take care of my turkey leg at the turkey leg.
I'll take care of your pizza at RC's.
I'm just concerned about the turkey leg at the turkey leg.
It's the best. RC makes amazing pizza.
These turkey legs are like $40. It's stuffed.
Maybe we'll make a turkey
It's stuffed
pizza.
With crab and shrimp, and it is incredible. All right, I know we've blown through too many of them. Let's do the real short break right now, and then we'll close out hour number one. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Beast Sapp. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. I'm going to knock him out.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Chuck the Iceman Lindell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Stone.
Nice. I love it, man. I love that the UFC guys are on the same wavelength that I am. I'm always looking for innovation, always looking for ways to get better with age. Today, for example.
Blah, blah,
no, today. It's like, here's how small the world is.
Blah, blah.
So I'm on Facebook Marketplace, and a lady in...
gave you a $15,000 couch.
Sort of. In Dunedin, she's selling a fitness system called the Body Boss. A plug for Body Boss, obviously. And she doesn't use it. So I met her in the Dunedin Library, right outside the stadium of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Speed this boring this
so
up.
In the conversation, she was like, oh, so what do you do? And I tell her, and she's like, oh, my grandson, or maybe her nephew, fights for the UFC. And I'm like, what? I was like, who? She's like, Groovy Lando. I'm like, oh, he has family up in Newport Richey. We talked to him on the radio, invited her to the restaurant. She goes, that's my sister's house. So I was like, what? So she calls Lando. So he's coming down to train with us. He's going to come train on the truck. He's going to come eat. You know, after we invited him last time he was on the show. But it just shows how small the world is. And that all came from my thirst to always improve.
So did you pick it up? Did you pick up whatever?
It's right there on the bar. It looks like a trapeze bar. It looks like you could join the circus.
I want you to invent. I'm not doing it, okay? But I want you to invent where you can work out on that useless piece of iron while you're driving.
Oh, I've done that. Oh, yeah, that's fun. Yeah, that's fun. We go down the beach, and like every bump, you might fall off. But it's not useless. It's innovative. It's unbelievable. And I've added so much variation. Since I went out to BKSC 41, I had a chance to go to the corporate studio, and I learned a whole new set of protocols and workouts, and I'm even more invested.
Let me bang, bro. Did you see that?
No.
Julian Lane.
He's doing slap boxing.
Slap, yeah.
Did he win yet?
Well, no, it's coming up. Okay. It's in the next
fight for the belt. One fight, fighting for a belt.
Yeah, first fight.
First fight.
First fight.
First fight, fight for the belt.
There's nothing wrong with that. First fight.
I saw Tim Sylvia catch some backlash from Frank Mir about slap boxing and thought it was a bad look for the sport and for the sport of MMA, that it wasn't a good look that Tim Sylvia's doing slap boxing from another GNAT client of mine, the former champ.
Biting my tongue.
Let's say it.
No,
say it.
Who the
hell? Not here.
No, I understand that. And Frank's a friend and Tim's a friend, but who the hell is Frank to tell Tim what to do? Who the hell is Tim to tell Frank what to do? Frank's fighting I don't even want to risk the promotion. But
isn't Frank fighting with his daughter? Like, aren't they doing like a combo? Like, they're both fighting on the same card?
It could be. And it's an interesting card and interesting owner and blah, 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 blah. So I want to be careful. I'm going to get a text from both of my attorneys to shut the hell up.
No, but do you like that, like, legacy stuff? Like, where the father, like the goat, or the legend.
He wasn't a goat.
Are the champion.
What's unfortunate. Hold on a second. I don't want it to sound like I'm ripping on Frank Mir. And when I say goat, he wasn't a goat. He could have been. If he's not in that motorcycle accident,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like the bad fifth round for Henry Cejudo. One decision, and it wasn't his, it was somebody else's, could have cost him legacy, GOAT status, because he was phenomenal. His jiu-jitsu was off the chain.
And to be that big and that limber and, you know, he changed the game.
He could have changed the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and it is a shame, but... You know, I don't know if one has anything to do with the other, and I think Frank will tell you his daughter's better than he was.
Yeah.
His daughter's good.
Well, you see, I mean, you see the you know, baseball, the grip he's played together, and, you know, like the...
There's been a few, but it's not... They're on the same card. It's cool. Okay, but it's not like they're fighting each other, because my money would go on the daughter.
Has there been a Harris, you know, Sean and Randy, same softball team? Or?
Oh, yeah. We played on the same team. Okay. When I got thrown off the team, they threw him off, too. So being associated didn't necessarily work well for him on that one.
Okay.
But, you know, again, legacy, you know, Tim hasn't fought, Tim this, Tim that. Tim looked, whether you like slap fighting or not, and I know it just got re-signed, Dana's just got re-signed for season two, and he said the numbers were off the chart and all that kind of stuff. If you watched it, Tim looked freaking phenomenal. His face didn't even move when this monster, you know, swung at him.
And, I mean, from what I saw, the slap boxing numbers took all the other sports combined.
What he said. That's what Dana said.
And beat it single-handedly.
You know, again, I'm not getting into like it, don't like it, dislike, don't like. Who is anybody, and we've talked about it, when Tito fought whoever it was, Anderson. And everybody jumped on him, and it's a money grab, and it's, we all work for money.
Yeah.
You know, Tim has a real job. He's in construction. He, you know, we all work for money. He went, and he didn't belittle himself. He didn't make himself look awful. Why would you give him crap for going on there?
Yeah.
Unless, and I don't want to start crap with Frank, but unless you just want to be heard from.
Or just relevant, or stay relevant.
Well, you know, is Frank trying to get, you know, and that's what, you know, I've been told by a lot of people. You know, Warren said that, you know, about some people when we were talking. He's like, yeah, they're just trying to be relevant using my name. Tim was relevant at that time for being in that slap fight and winning it hands down, slap down. And so why would Frank even say it?
Well, it's much better to be relevant for slap boxing than to be relevant for crashing your truck with a DUI like a former champion. Did you see? It's weak. El Cachuti, like, crashed his truck.
God, you tell stories awful.
DUI, like, you know, like, yeah, it's former awful. UFC champion, like, you know.
The dude who hit our vehicle and took off, who has postponed his court appearance numerous times, allegedly goes to court tomorrow.
Okay.
Ironic, and I wanted more than 3 minutes. Similar, not the same. Similar, you're talking DUI. How about, and I'm not even going to pronounce his name, the Buffalo punter, Matt Araiza, came out as the Ray Guy winner out of college, the number one punter in the country.
Okay.
Punters don't get drafted too often.
Okay.
Got drafted. Got accused of rape, was released. He's had to fight this, that, the other. The media blasted him. Mm. Fans blasted him. Ironically, they just came out with proof he wasn't there.
Oh, well, that's good.
Well, it's good except for what happens to the person who accused him.
Nothing.
Something should happen to this person.
Unfortunately, it's not.
And I watch Law and Order, and I see that. They're like, you don't want to make it hard for
victims.
You know, to come out. And I get that. And I was discussing this with somebody yesterday. It could be a legitimate victim who could legitimately be found, the person found not guilty, even though it happened. Now, does this person go to prison when it did happen, but it wasn't proven? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just, our world is just so messed up.
I mean, unfortunately, it's a bigger money grab for people to make accusations against up and coming lottery ticket winners, you know, who are getting big contracts and massive money coming in, than to just make allegations to pay it off.
I always say, don't put yourself in that situation. He didn't. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
And he still got accused. He still...
And the public perception and the way that the media handled it, you're guilty until proven innocent, unfortunately.
Which is not the way this, you know, country is supposed to be. All right, so a lot of stuff scheduled for hour number two. I'm going to talk more about Henry Cejudo. We'll talk about, again, another one of those torn fights, Robbie Lawler, Nico Price. two of our guys, you know, here on the show. I've known Robbie since Dana found him.
Yeah.
Nico, I was supposed to have it today, has sent us a gift.
Oh, nice.
And I was going to unveil it today, but he got busy. He's training, blah, 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 blah. Allegedly, we will have it by next week.
Nice.
And I will present this live on the air. Steve will videotape it. And second hour, we're going to talk about what's coming up for Knockout Radio, Steve and myself.
Yeah, you have an announcement. Somebody join the network?
I'm not making that announcement yet, but what I am announcing is three events in less than 24 hours.
Whoa.
That's what's on tap this weekend. We'll talk about that. We'll talk to Carlos. We'll talk to Tim Means and a whole lot more. Hour number two. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Antonio Holmes of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.